Hi, everyone, and welcome to KSFR's Heart Talk Radio. My name is Robert Page Kaufman, psychotherapist, just a regular kind of guy who's extremely interested in any and all issues related to relationships, love, and otherwise. Tonight I'm here with my wonderful, fantastic co-host, Reverend Phil Strom, spiritual guide to the whole universe, and Dr. Ann Ridley, our resident sexologist and loveologist, also known as the modern Aphrodite. We're here again tonight to talk about issues pertaining to all kinds of relationships and the interesting and sometimes very perplexing ways human beings interact with each other. Doesn't that sound interesting? Yes. Now, this being a call-in show, we invite you to phone in and share with us what you might be thinking or feeling about tonight's on-air discussion. The KFSR phone lines are now open. Here's the number if you'd like to get in on our conversation. It's 505-428-1382, 505-428-1382. Or if you choose to stay anonymous, you can send us a text at area code 505-930-1477, and we'll address your particular point of view right over the air. So don't be shy. We'd love to hear from you. And with that being said, I'd like to say hello to Dr. Ann. Hello. Good evening, friends.
Good evening, Dr. Ann Ridley, the modern Aphrodite, clinical sexologist, loveologist, psychotherapist. And I have a private practice here in Santa Fe, and we're going to be talking tonight on a couple different topics, but one of which has been coming up a lot in my practice that I wanted to share given the new year. And we also want to say hello to Reverend Phil.
Blessings and greetings. This is Reverend Phil, and I am both an ordained minister and a state licensed counselor, and what I do, I call spiritual counseling. That without a spiritual component, we do not heal. We cannot solve the problems with the same thinking that created them. We have to come above them. And the only thing that's above our body, when I say our body, it's our physical, our emotional, and our intellectual bodies, all respond to the spiritual body, and that's where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
So last week we were talking about resolutions. Of course, it was our first show of this 2019 year.
Happy New Year to everyone, by the way.
And in talking about what we want to experience this year, what we want to do, what we want to have, as most people structure their resolution list, I think that a big piece of it comes down to something even deeper, which is our negative self-beliefs that we hold about ourselves. Now, if we describe what this is, because it's an individual false truth.
It's very individual, yeah.
So these are the tapes that run in your head, things that you say to yourself, self-limiting beliefs, negative thoughts that you have about yourself, through which then we experience our life. And the power that we give to these negative truths, false truths, we should say, is extraordinary. And it really determines how we experience any situation or those that we don't experience because they're self-limiting beliefs.
And sometimes they can have dire consequences.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's so important to be aware of our limiting self-beliefs.
But
so,
that's not realistic.
Okay, go ahead.
We don't produce these beliefs. They're imprinted on us from early in childhood.
Sure they are.
So it's part of us. It's not something that all of a sudden that's put in front of us and you get to choose.
That's why it's so hard.
Exactly.
To change.
So, I mean, it's not about having a choice. It's not about me choosing to do this or to do that. I don't have a choice because I've already been programmed.
Well, I agree. It's not so much about choice, but I think there is a way to become more aware. You know, Freud, you know, making the unconscious conscious to be able to be aware of these self-limiting beliefs that presupposes we can do something about it.
These limiting beliefs are societal in nature. And I believe that falls right at the feet of the predominant religion of the society, which is Christian. And the concept of original sin, the concept that God is not part of us, that's something outside of us. We cannot connect to God. We need to have an intermediary to do that. I mean, I can go on forever, so I'm going
to
stop.
Or tell us how to do it, the dogmatic part.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I totally agree. I don't know if I can isolate it to Christianity. I think a lot of religions have that kind of dogmatic attitude.
Actually, that's not true.
You don't think
the
so?
The predominant, when I say a lot of, I'm talking about the Abrahamic traditions. I'm not talking about the Eastern
Judeo-Christian
philosophies. Judaism and Islam do not believe that, but they are in the minority here. The predominant religion is Christian, whether it's Catholic or any other denomination of Christian.
Well, depending
and
where you are.
The concept of original sin, if you're in the United States, that's predominant. There okay. are no predominant Jewish communities in the United States. There are no predominant Islamic communities in the United States.
And to be clear, what particular belief are you talking about that is part of this dominant religious culture?
The concept of original sin. We're born
original
already
sin.
Damned to hell.
Yes. I hear you on that.
I'm not okay. I'm not mm-hmm. one with God. How could I possibly start off okay with
or I come into this life.
Makes me okay.
I come into this life as damaged goods.
No, I'm letting you all riff for sure. And I'm thinking about my own personal experiences growing up in a Christian household where my parents and their belief system about who I should be and how I should treat other people was related to being of service to God and of being bad versus good, if I put it in such simplistic terms.
But that's the whole thing. And,
right.
And we always wind up on the bad side as opposed to the good side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could agree with that, that a lot of that original badness, that shame, you know, that original shame as well, that we're not okay. Again, we're damaged goods. We're not good enough. Yes, I think a lot of those self-beliefs can come from that area. I don't know if I would say all of the personal belief systems.
Well, I think that they're also filtered through our environment. In
societal.
Terms of, and in yeah. terms of our household, our family of origin, and the beliefs that our parents have about themselves.
That right? aren't necessarily connected to a particular religion.
They then get projected onto us, which then we internalize.
But I do agree with you, Reverend Phil, that a lot of this religiosity, over-religiosity of this idea, this notion of original sin, has definitely been detrimental to a whole lot of folks out there.
I think it's at the foundation of the dysfunction of our society. You know, but I mean,
maybe so.
I don't have, you know, surveys and that polls to chart that. It's just my interpretation of the things I've learned and experienced along the way, both being, being a minister and being a counselor and what I'm presented with the people I work with.
Mm-hmm. So that goes back to my question of, you know, are we to be aware, just more aware of these self-limiting beliefs and what we can
lies.
Do
I like
about
that
yes,
you said lies.
Definitely.
Yeah.
They're not real.
Because we can be aware of them. That's one thing. And that's a lot of times people don't even hear what they're saying in their head. I mean, it takes real awakened thought to even hear that is ruining their life. Right,
yes.
What they believe. So, and that it's a lie is the second part. So to hear it and to then start to question, is this even actually the truth?
And then you got to overcome the whole
you have to change
cumulative
it.
History of right. buying into that reality or
because
non-reality.
My experiences have proven this to be true. So I'm going to give an example, okay, of what we're talking about here when we say negative self-beliefs. One in particular that I hear from a lot of people is that I'm unlovable, everyone leaves me. So something along those lines. So when we have relationships, when we have experiences with people that then dissolve or change, or someone passes away or gets divorced, or however you want to say it, enough experiences like that, then the individual will say, see, there it is. I knew it would happen. There it is. That's the lens through which I see everything. And it affirms that this false belief, which is actually false, is true because of my experiences.
And we create it for ourselves and bring to us that which we need to reinforce that lesson until
right.
we get the lesson. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. We sabotage ourselves. We don't go the extra mile. I'm losing my voice here. We don't go that extra mile, so to speak, because we don't believe it's going to do anything because I'm not okay.
Well, I think we start to believe these lies. I went to a therapist one time years ago up in Taos, okay? And I was sitting there, and, you know, he was looking at me, and he goes, you see the couch over there? There's self-doubt. There's depression. There's anxiety. There's the toxic shame. Do you see him? And I said, no, I really don't see anything over there. He says, exactly, because these are lies. These are fabrications of your mind. That was one of the most effective therapy sessions I've ever been to, and it stuck with me till today. When I work with clients, they're just reveling in their self-doubt, their depression, it's lies, and it comes from an earlier time, and we start adopting these lies, and we bring them into our adult lives, and we just bit by bit start ruining our relationships, our life direction, our goals. And I remember that. These are lies. These are things that I don't have to believe those anymore.
Right.
And I've said that to a lot of...
It becomes a choice.
Yes, it does.
And at that foundation is a belief that I am not divine in nature and that I don't have any power.
Yes.
So I am born, I'm damned, and I'm just going to perpetuate it.
Right. Or it's an illusion. You know, somebody goes away from me, a relationship doesn't work out. It's so easy to fall into that trap that I'm not good enough. See, they leave me. It's self-fulfilling prophecy. No, it doesn't have to be that way. If you believe in these lies of the doubts and the self-doubts and the self-sabotage and the put-downs, and if you start making that a part of how you see your life, people will leave because you are.
Or you will leave the relationship before they leave you, which is
right.
something that I also see a lot of. I'm
yes.
going to have my guard up so much that when I feel them pulling away, I'm going to jump ship right away so they don't do it to me.
And that right. becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to go that extra mile. I'm not going to do that extra little thing because I'm doomed, I'm damned, and it's not going to be to my benefit. I'm just going to hurt myself further down the road.
Mm-hmm. And it happens to a lot of people that have not subscribed to any religion, and they just come up with these, you know.
Through their experiences.
It could be, yeah, through their experiences, the parental influences, societal influences, that I'm just saying is not always religious bound.
But they are, even if they don't have the direct experience of the religion, it permeates the society and the thinking and what's espoused in society.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a hard time talking.
And I think it's
stop.
Okay. Well, it's okay.
Let's take a break.
Let's take our break then, and you can, you know, blow your nose or something. Okay. We are back to Heart Talk Radio. And I just want to also say that we love to hear from you. We want you to get in on the discussion. And our number is 505-428-1382. So we're doing a lot of talk about, you know, self-fulfilling prophecies and negative self-image, self-sabotage, all these kind of things. And Dr. And had a few remarks, and I wanted to expound on what she was talking about before the break. So take it away.
So usually when I'm working with clients, I go through a system where I take an experience that they've had, and I ask them, what is your negative self-belief around that experience? Okay, so there's mm-hmm. a triggering event that then kicks in the thought of whatever that may be for them. I'm unlovable. I'm unworthy. I'm left. My value is only in what I do for people.
I'm a bad judge of self.
I'm a bad person. I always screw up. Something like that. So there's a lot of absolutes in these negative thoughts. There's no room. There's no gray.
Black and white thinking.
Right. Most of them start out with I am. So one of the first steps is to identify what is that negative belief, okay? And it's something that seems to be a thread through your life, through which you see every situation or most situations. And I usually tell people there's, you know, about five core ones. There could be three, there could be 10. I don't know. But to start out with just a few and to write those down. One of the first things to do is replace I am with I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of I am unlovable, it is I feel unlovable. Okay.
Yeah, two very different points of view.
That's opening it up just a little bit. Okay. When X happens, I feel unlovable. In my body, then, my experience is what? I feel anxiety. I feel stress, overwhelm. And then what do you do with that? Well, I want to retaliate. I want to retreat. I want to shut down. I want to create distance between me and the other person. So this is really important to see how powerful these negative beliefs really are.
Because they translate to our emotions. It's very much the basis of cognitive behavioral therapy. And a lot of us practice that because it makes a lot of sense. And I do believe that our thoughts absolutely translate to a lot of our emotional inner life that we have.
Every thought creates an action. Mm-hmm. That an action is usually an emotional response.
Mm-hmm.
So in the theme of resolutions, if we want to change things, if we want to do something different and have different experiences, it's also changing our perception within our self-beliefs, right?
And sometimes we need help and guidance with that.
All times. We can't do it on our own. We've been so programmed to override our own programming is near impossible.
Well, you've said that a lot, Phil, you know, over the years of doing this program, you know, that's the case.
And oftentimes what I hear from people is, I keep finding myself in this situation. I keep dating the same person. I keep having...
Well, they're rerunning all this
right.
stuff.
Right. So Phil said before the show, what's the common denominator? The common denominator is you. Yes.
And that is a gift of the divine to give us the opportunity to teach ourselves and learn something. I'm going to try to make this a quick story. I had a client, and his story was he was behind domestic violence. He was ordered to counseling. So we started talking what happened. Well, my wife, I caught her cheating on me, and I got angry. I yelled. I didn't really hit her. I didn't do anything physical, but they called the cops and the judge said I needed to do domestic violence counseling. Okay, so tell me some more about yourself. What's your life like? Well, this is the fourth time this has happened to me. And I said, four wives? And he goes, yes. And I go, so what's the common denominator? And his response was, there is no common denominator. One was Anglo, one was Hispanic, one was Native American, one was this, one was that, one was tall, one was short, one was fat, one was thin, one was, you know, all the, and he went through this whole litany, and then I said to him again, what's the common denominator? And he was like, wanted to start that whole same thing over again, and I stopped him, and I said, okay, let me ask you a question. Tell me about childhood. Oh, well, Dad caught Mom cheating, kicked her out, and took custody of me. So what was Dad's opinion of women? Well, that they couldn't be trusted. They were all cheaters. They were all liars. And so I said, how did you trust your wives? And we started to break down this whole history of what he was inoculated with.
All that intergenerational stuff. Yeah.
But it was also about being programmed without knowing it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But this to me is grace. You bring to you what you need to learn your lessons. That's divine gift for us.
But it's like it divine awareness.
It doesn't happen by accident.
Right.
And we're going to continue to until get these get lessons until we change and get it right.
It does seem to work that way.
So if we want to experience something else in the new year, right, as resolutions go, it is about really doing the inner work, looking inside of ourselves into our programming so that we can change glasses and have a different experience through a new lens.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's well said.
But it takes support. It takes work.
That's it.
It does.
It's not an instant
consistency.
Fix. Yes.
And often I hear, too, in my clients who are having these awarenesses, when we start dissecting situations and getting down to the negative beliefs, it is, well, I didn't get it right. You know, I'm so hard on myself because I defaulted. Well, the programming is very old. I mean, this is the operating system that is way outdated, and it's time to up-level.
Exactly.
Mainframe Fortran.
Yeah, and these up-levelings, I mean, how often are we updating our software on our phones? Like, mm-hmm. we have to be on top of this. And our experiences are changing, and our enlightened experiences are changing.
Well, that's why we're hearing all this mindfulness.
And that negative self-belief becomes part of the impediment to the change.
Right.
There are, from my perspective, there are three things that are required for change. The first one is divine. As soon as I am acknowledging I need to help with something, a teacher is provided. When the student is ready, the teacher is there. That's outside of me. The second part is inside of me. I've got to believe I'm capable of doing the work. And then the third part is if I'm capable of doing the work, I'm also worthy of the better life that work is going to get me.
Right.
And between two and three, it always breaks down because of that negative self-belief. I'm not okay, therefore I can't do this work right. And even if I do it right, I'm going to screw it up because I'm really not worthy of the better life.
Well, this is what Dr. Ann was talking about before, the difference between the behavior and who I innately am. And a lot of folks really get hung up on that. They can't seem to separate, hey, my behaviors are really different from who I am.
Well, and I think also that we're so used to being in pain, suffering, discomfort, that then that becomes the comfortable spot.
It's like a lifestyle.
And we're told we're responsible for the pain and suffering, but we're not given the tools to change it. So we're stuck in that
It reinforces
always,
right, the negative
again.
Stuff. Yeah.
You know, two things that I think are essential. My experiences and my actions don't define me. God defines me. My experiences and my actions inform me. They're my lessons. You know, and that is so important to understand. And this goes back to my original, at the beginning of the show, about this concept, original sin. It permeates the society. I'm not okay. I may not call it original sin, but all these negative things are part of a societal culture. Look at what's daily in the news. Constantly blaming people outside of ourselves for how we feel. Not told we have the power to change how we feel. I mean,
and the dishonesty is just a reflection of that negative self-belief.
Yes. I got to hide it. I got to front it. I can't let you see it.
And I want to make you feel how I'm feeling.
I need to block the truth.
And that becomes the extreme. That's the domestic violence
right.
aspect. You're hurting me. I'm going to hurt you back.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to level the score, so to speak, as though that alleviates our suffering, which it doesn't. That's not what it's about at all.
No, it distracts us from our suffering. But
Absolutely.
that's what an addictive society does, is distracts itself from its suffering.
Addiction is so much about distraction.
That's
course.
All it is.
Yeah.
How do I get away from myself?
Right. How do I avoid feeling the pain?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So entering into the therapeutic alliance, it does take courage. It does take fortitude to say, you know what? I'm going to do this thing. And I think we lose a lot of addicts because they just don't open up to it. You know, they're in what Phil said, the hiding,
well, they're
the blocking.
Into that negative self-belief. I cannot right. change. I've done so many lousy things in my life that I am not worthy of a better life. I am not capable of producing.
It's unforgivable.
And you don't have to be an addict to entertain a lot of those negative ideas.
I'll flip it the other way. 99.9% of the society is addicted. They're just not addicted to drugs. They're addicted to other things.
Absolutely.
How about addicted to the negative self-thoughts?
Totally.
That's the core of the addiction, but there's other behaviors that distract them from themselves.
Absolutely.
Right. It manifests differently.
Yes, definitely.
So to really make some effective change in your life, it takes inner work. It takes getting down to the core of what is driving your thoughts and your behaviors.
Mm-hmm. And that becomes part of what you were talking about, Rob. And I put it in a different context with people. Reality is anything I stop believing in that doesn't go away. I could stop believing in this chair I'm sitting on. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to wind up on my behind.
Mm-hmm.
But if I stop believing I'm not okay, it goes away. It's not real.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's real because I've been programmed to believe in the reality of the negativity.
Absolutely.
And my perceptions.
And, you know, an interesting thing when we're talking about love relationships or intimate relationships, Andrew writes, sometimes we need to have a partner who's willing to stay in the game to heal those wounds. Intimacy is not all about self-interest. Giving up on conflicts, let's see, let me read the rest of it. Giving up on conflict does not promote growth.
And sometimes people become so uncomfortable in their pain in the relationship that they just want to get out of it.
Absolutely.
And they think the other person's pain is a reflection on them, and therefore they got to do something about it as opposed to support the change. They run.
You know what?
That's next week's show.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it ends all too fast tonight. We're going to continue the discussion next week, but I'd like to give out a little contact information before we go off the air. You can always reach me, Robert Kaufman, independent psychotherapist for private counseling, life coaching sessions, including all ages, psychological challenges, at my private practice I call Creative Counseling. Feel free to contact me at area code 505-930-1477. Together, we'll deal with your issues.
Dr. Ann Ridley, the modern Aphrodite. You can reach me for personal counseling or love and relationship advice at 505-819-9030 or follow me on Facebook at The Modern Aphrodite, Dr. Ann Ridley. Also, we have a Heart Talk Radio Santa Fe page, so please follow us along on Facebook there.
And I'm Reverend Phil, 505-670-9961. Either text or voice. And without a spiritual component, we do not heal. And we cannot do it alone. Please, if something isn't working in your life, it's not a crime to admit it. It's a crime to ignore it. Be blessed.
So, all of us here at Heart Talk Radio would like to thank you again for tuning in this evening. I'd also like to mention our master broadcast engineer, Scott Boardmeister Schuker, for his usual great job working the boards. And just a quick reminder that Heart Talk Radio is on every Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time, except for the last Thursday of the month. So we'll be here next week, January 17th, I believe, on the mighty KSFR 101.1 FM, public radio for northern New Mexico. So from all of us here at Heart Talk Radio, stay tuned, stay connected, and keep